The following audio is from North Life Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
It is interesting to me, often when the Holy Spirit is working in a place, He orchestrates what's to happen, of course. And I just want to take a very few minutes today and speak to you about something the Lord said. We are not the head of the church. He is. So I want to just remind you of something he said just in a few moments. But I considered 1955 when this church began. Times were very different then. And I think you know me a wee bit now that I live mostly in the future, not the past. I'm usually 10 years out and I look back. So I'm 10 years out looking back. So I'm more of a future-oriented type of person. And yet we celebrate what God has done. But we must realize that we are not in 1955. We are in 2015. And many things are different now. The challenges are different. The message is the same. But the challenges are different. In 1955, the first McDonald's opened. Anyone ever eat at McDonald's? Anyone sorry that you did? The first McDonald's opened in 1955. Amazing. Hamburgers, 15 cents. We've come a long way. There's now, I forget how many, it's unbelievable. The millions of McDonald's there are now. Hamburgers are no longer 15 cents. The first pocket transistor was invented. Radio, little radio you put in your pocket. That was the first one, 1955. Before that, remember, excuse some of us, remember the radios in the living rooms? Weighed about 900 pounds. But the size of that baptism area. But the first one you could put in your pockets, 1955, big stuff. The first color telephone, dial, still dial, remember? But they were always black. But in 1955, the first color one. What color did you get? Talk to me. What was it? Green. Anyone else get a different color? Raise your hand. White. Another one. Yellow. Oh, my land, that was ugly. Another one. remember there were red ones? Well, 1955, big stuff to have a different color dial telephone. Now most are getting rid of the landlines. Times change. Times change. We don't live back then. But it was interesting. Inventions. The hovercraft was invented in 1955. Lego, invented in 1955. First Lego. Oh, my land. What did they do before that with the children? Velcro was invented in 1955. It took them a while to get onto it, but it was invented in 1955. I'm not sure if my son yet knows how to tie a lace. Everything's Velcroed. My grandchildren certainly don't know. Polio vaccine became approved and in use. That was a scourge back then. But finally a vaccine. 1955. Rock and roll. Who was dominating everything? Who was it? Tell her in church and I'll pray for you later. Who was it? Elvis Presley. He was coming onto the scene big time. Mickey Mouse Club began 1955. Steve Jobs was born in 1955. Bill Gates was born in 1955. Did those two change anything? Ooh, big time. Rosa Parks refused to get off the bus in 1955 and began a revolution on behalf of the Afro-American and Afro-Canadian people. Prime Minister is Louis Saint Laurent. St. Louis, St. Lawrence Seaway was opened up to get us from Montreal into the lakes and broaden the whole economic world back then. Average wage was $3,851 a year, less than $4,000 a year. That's what people made. Minimum wage rose to $1 an hour, 1955. Average home was $10,900. Things haven't changed much, have they? Average home, $10,900. Average rent was $87 a month for rent. Gallon of gas was 23 cents. And the population of Fort McMurray was 1,100. That's the population of this place, $1,100. 1,100 people. And it's interesting, that was the year that this church was birthed. So it was very different in many, many ways. And a lot of the population was just out waterways area, just a bit over there. And that's when God planted into the heart of Pastor Hain and his wife that there needs to be a Baptist church established here. This is one of the oldest churches in the city. And many other churches came later and established themselves, but this is one of the oldest. And I'm always delighted to be able to see how God has blessed a congregation decade after decade after decade. There's never any guarantee a church will continue. But God has put his hand on this congregation, even though there's always a movement because of the nature of the city, the church, and people, and new churches. But God in his sovereignty has caused this church to continue and to continue to have impact that was planted back then in 1955. And I'm delighted to be able to think about what those original pastors faced. Pastor Matika, for instance, at one time he was doing five part-time jobs, just to keep things going. The original pastor, Pastor Hain, after the church began, it grew quite rapidly, but then it really started to struggle, and all of the adults left. They had children, but all of the adults left, transferred out of the city, and went right down again to two adults, the pastor and his wife. That would be a good time to quit, wouldn't it? But he didn't, and she didn't. Because if the truth were told, it's the pastor's wives that often stabilize the ship. But he did not leave. He kept on because he believed something. And this is what he believed, and this is what I want to pop into your hearts today. Jesus gave us a promise, and the chair of the elders just told it to us. I was nervous he was going to preach. But the Spirit of God reminds us many times about this. Jesus was at a place called Caesarea Philippi, up northern Israel, up in the north. Really a beautiful place. And he was up in Caesarea, a village area, kind of a small city in Jesus' day. It was built to honor one of the Caesars. And in Caesarea Philippi, he came to it's the origins of the Jordan River. And if you visit there, go there, and you'll see the origins of the Jordan River. And as Jesus went into that place of the origin of the Jordan River, when you stand by the river, you can look over, and there's still little, kind of little engraved spaces in the stone ledge. And there used to be all these idols put in those engraved places, like little shelves. And there were all these idols. And when Jesus was about to say something, his followers, very few, but his followers would be looking at these idols. And there was also a building, a castle-type building that was nearby too. And when Jesus was standing there, he said, "Who do you think that I am? What are people saying about me?" And some say, "You're Elijah, Jeremiah." Remember that? Elijah, Jeremiah, whatever. And then he looked at them. And his little covey of followers, some of them were teenagers, unbelievable. You see, this age, this some of the disciples were this age and this age. They were teens or in their 20s. Might have been one who was 30. Something, isn't it? I could preach on an aside, and I'm trying to hold myself back. The average age of this city is 32 years old. And it's very easy for a church to become white-headed and bald-headed. Did I say that? Huh? It's so easy for a church to get comfortable, you see. But in a city with the average age 32, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know. Change must happen. And these young disciples, young in the Lord, they just began to get to know him. Young, you know, physically, full of life, full of energy. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And they kind of debated a bit and said, "Well, some are saying this. What's the buzz about who I am?" And Peter said, "You are, oh, I love this." Peter, he wasn't the first pope because he was married. So get that out of your minds. Or if he was the first pope, something went wrong somewhere. Did I say that too? Well, and Peter spoke up immediately. He was usually the first one jump out of the boat, the first one that says, that's the kind of man he was. And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Oh, beautiful. You are the one we've been waiting for thousands of years. Quite a thing, isn't it, to say that about somebody. And you are the Son of God. For God so loved this world that he gave his only what? Begotten Son. God has a Son, and his name is Jesus. You are the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the anointed one. That's what that means. You're the sent one. You came from there to here. You are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, "Peter, you didn't learn that from human beings. You learned that from God, my Father." You see, we can bring people so far in faith, but God must take them from there on. We really can't argue anyone into the kingdom. If we do, they're your convert, they're not God's. But he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "That's correct. God showed you that. That's who I am." And then Jesus said this wonderful thing. He said, "I will," let's have it here. Next slide, please. "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not" what? Do you believe that? Any amen? Jesus said, oh, listen. Jesus said, "I will build my church." Do you think he's doing it? You know, I never despair because of this powerful promise from the commander-in-chief. "I will build my church." And thank God for the structures in life. But he wasn't talking about structures. And when he said, "I will build my church," the word church is ekklesia. And ekklesia is the word that ek is out of. And ekklesia is to call out. Two Greek words pushed together. Ekklesia. Jesus said, "I will call people out, call people out, call people out, and they will assemble together, and then they will scatter into this world." That's what the church is. Gather and scatter, gather and scatter, gather and scatter. That's what we're doing. We'll soon leave, and we scatter into homes and businesses and workplaces, different strategic places that God has put us. "I will build my ecclesia, my church." Peter said, "We are living stones." You know, like building a building out of stones, right? And you put this one and this one and this. And Peter said in his book that he wrote, "We are living stones." I want to impress upon us today, Jesus said, I will build my church. Do you ever think that one over? I will build my church. The church is his church. I love the church. I've always loved the church. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I love the church. But Jesus said, it is my church. And he said, I'm going to build it. And since the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was sent here, and he's never left, the Lord has been building his church. Today, over 100,000 people will come to Christ. More living stones. He's building it all of the time. The greatest enterprise in heaven and on earth is the church. And just when people count it out, Jesus counts it in. And just when we think something else is the solution, Jesus reminds us, the church functioning well is the remedy for the city. And it is his church. May I get angry for a moment? Raise your right hand. Anyone opposed? It is his church. Let me make it very specific. North Life Fellowship Baptist Church is his church. What do you have to say about it? It's his. I never cease to be amazed at how many opinions for so many people on the church. And I'm open to receiving opinions. However, I would strongly suggest, before we think we have the solutions for everything, it is his. And it's always wise to go to him first. If the Lord, he's here by his Spirit, but if he were here in person today, and here he is. And we step up to him and say, Lord, this is what I think of your church. This is what I think of your church. I wonder if that would change anything. I wonder if it would cause us to pause before we speak. Because I'm aware that the Lord said, I will build what? My church. And so I say, oh, Lord, what is your church? What does it look like? You speak to me about your church. I'm nervous to speak to you too much about giving you advice on your church. So we're open to advice. We're open to thoughts. But I dare say that many times we have so many preferences and so many opinions, but we forget it's his. And I'm always a wee bit nervous of advising Jesus, at least without a spirit of humility. I will build my, and he's doing it. Let's rejoice in that. Let's be grateful over that. He's doing it. I will build my church, he said, and the gates of hell will not what? Conquer it. The gates is an interesting thing. The gates keep people in, keep people out, or try to stop people. He said, the gates of hell. You see, the church is so valuable to humanity that the enemy attacks the church. He just does. Because the devil doesn't attack anything that he's not overly bothered about. And he says, I will be in the gates of hell. In other words, there are people who are under bondage now. They can't get out. But the Lord says, you see, he's able to open that gate and let people out. Many of you know that, don't you? You were in bondage to whatever, but you're free now. Jesus has freed you. And then the second thing, some say this is an offensive type thing. In other words, the devil keeps putting gates up so the church can't progress. Gates of unbelief, gates of ridicule, gates of cynicism, gates about you're irrelevant. You know, the devil keeps putting gates up. But this seems to be an offensive statement that says, Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not what? You see, the church is on the move. And no matter what barriers are put up, with Jesus' power, the gates are what? They're knocked down. Another one, knocked down. Another one, knocked down. The church is on the move all over the world. And the world is here. Let's not cower. Let's not apologize. We are part of the greatest enterprise in heaven and on earth, and the church is moving and knocking down barriers and gates all the time, worldwide. Then I want to say this in closing. I will build my church, Jesus said. The gates internally, externally, attacks inside, outside, I'm going to push through those. And then he said this in Ephesians 5. He said, he gave up his life for her, the church, to make her holy and clean. We are washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this, we sent her to himself, a glorious church, without a spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Don't you love weddings? And I like this. You know, the Bible says the church is the bride of Christ. He's the groom, and we are the what? Bride. And he says there's going to come a day in which there will be no flaws in the church. The church will be all, may I just use some slang? The church will be all cleaned up. Now there's such a mixture of things, aren't there? But one day he said, I love the church so much. She's my bride. That one day all the spots, all the wrinkles will be removed. And do you believe this? One day the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. One day Jesus shall come back again, and he shall call his what? Call his bride away. And we'll all go to be with our Lord. In my Father's house, we'll all be there because we are his bride. So again, I face a challenge today. What do you think of Jesus' bride? What's your opinion on his bride? What's your thoughts about his bride, which one day he shall completely clean up? Well, I'm up on his bride. And that's why I'm always cautious, Lord. I want to tell you what I think of your bride. This is what I think of your bride. I don't do that. I say, Lord, she is your bride. I'm part of your bride. And it gives a new perspective. What is the message today? That, of course, you know, it went longer than I thought. The message is this. We have a great promise, and we're part of it. I will build my what? Church. And if you know Christ, through faith in his sacrifice, and he rose from the dead, if you believe that, you are a part of his bride. And you are to continue to be strong in the Lord. That's why I don't simply live in the past. The better days are coming. The better days are coming. And let's not only be consumers in the church, but contributors. Not just takers, but givers. And we will have yet to see what Almighty God can do in this awesome municipality where the world is coming and the world is going. God help us to be faithful to Christ our head. Father in heaven, thank you for speaking to us today. It's been so good, Lord, to be part of what you have done here and what you are doing here. And continue, Lord, we humbly ask, continue to bless this congregation that we might be all that you would have us to be. We're not everyone, but we're someone. So, Lord, bless us, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Let's close with a song. Shall we stand up, please?